Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
What do you get when you combine simplified digital marketing, proven ROI strategies, and Metallica blasting from his headphones? You get Rick Mole ready, of course. So strap in, grab your bulletproof coffee, and get ready, because this is the art of pay traffic. Here's Rick.
All right, cue the French horns, because this is episode number 200. What's going on, my friends? Thanks for coming to hang out with me today on the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. I'm your host, Rick Mulready, and I'm here to simplify online marketing for you so that you can scale and create consistent income and freedom in your business. That's right, we're celebrating number 200 today, something that's pretty crazy to hear myself saying out loud here. When I started the show 3 years ago, I had no idea to expect. I mean, I did know that I loved doing a podcast, and I did 53 episodes of my original podcast, which is called Inside Social Media. So when I started out AOPT here, I had no idea what to expect, and it has been amazing. And I have all of you to thank for it. I so appreciate you giving me your attention and your time each and every week. And you really, frankly, are the reason that I do this show. So thank you so much for allowing me to do this podcast for you. I am just getting started, and there's a whole lot more to come. Now, I've been thinking a lot for the past actually few months about how I was going to celebrate episode 200. And I decided to do something a little bit different for the show today. You know, the Art of Paid Traffic has always been a place where I share online marketing tips and strategies and case studies, mostly revolving around Facebook ads, but you know, all forms of online marketing in general for growing and automating your business. And don't worry, those case studies and strategies are not going to be changing. But I've also realized that I don't share a ton about myself and really let you in, really let AOPT Nation more behind the scenes of me personally. And the reason, if I'm being quite honest with you, is this is out of my comfort zone, but I want that to change. So today, for episode number 200, in an effort to better connect with you and share more about me, I'm going to peel back the curtain a bit and share some more personal things about me. It can be an easy, you know, it can be easy to share only the good stuff as we talk about our businesses, you know, the beautiful Instagram feed of our lives. But as so often is the case, that's not always reality. You know, it's that whole iceberg metaphor that I talk about quite a bit. We see what's going on top of the water, but don't really get to see what's going on below the water for so many people. And I feel like that's sort of an image that I have portrayed, and I want to change that. Like I've been very guilty of that, I think, and not very guilty, but I know that I have been guilty of that. And I don't want to be looked at by those that follow me as someone who has everything figured out, or that I don't have my struggles and challenges, because that is not the case, nor is it authentic. And frankly, I think if that is being conveyed that way, that's doing you a disservice. So I want to change that right now. And I opened up about some stuff on my close friend Amy Porterfield's podcast, Online Marketing Made Easy, that I've never publicly talked about until that episode. Things about my anxiety and my perfectionism. And I had a lot of people reach out and share their thoughts with me, saying how much they appreciated the openness and vulnerability that I showed on that show. And also, why aren't I sharing more of that kind of stuff here on my own show? And so that's what I'm going to do today, my friends. And to help with that, I invited Amy Porterfield to join me on this podcast episode and interview me. We're going to reverse the roles here on the podcast, and I'm the one that's going to be interviewed. I think you're going to be surprised at how much we have in common when it comes to the personal stuff and with the business stuff. So today we're going to be telling, you can hear me kind of get a little anxious as I share with you what we're going to be talking about here today. So we're going to be talking about things like what's going through my mind right now as I prepare to become a dad at the end of this year. When I'm recording this episode, my wife, Amy, is 20 weeks pregnant. Well, when this episode comes out, she's 20 and a half weeks pregnant. So we're a little over halfway there. We're going to have a daughter at the end of this year, a little baby girl, and I could not be more excited. So we dive into a little bit about my mindset around that. We talk about what a typical day looks like for me. We talk about what the first concert was that I ever saw, which I'm pretty embarrassed to admit to you, but we talk about that. Amy loved that one. We talk about why I chose to focus on Facebook ads in my business and where all that came from. We dive into my anxiety and how I've struggled with it since I was a kid and how I've worked through it to where I am today. And I've done a lot of work around this. And I really share with you sort of those struggles and also what I've done to move past it and make so many improvements in my life around it. We talk about why I'm such a coffee snob. Amy loved that question that she got to ask me. We talk about how I transitioned from work to home life and the struggles that I've had with that, including how have my wife, Amy, and I set boundaries at home. Since we both work from home, we both have businesses that we work from home. And so we've gone through a lot of struggles and challenges there about boundaries and more so around me and transitioning from that work to home life. So we get into that here today. We talk about what's the one thing that most businesses overlook when trying to start with Facebook ads. And a whole lot more. So as you can see here, we mix both personal and business related stuff here. This was both a ton of fun and completely terrifying for me all at the same time to really open up and be so vulnerable. But this transparency and authenticity is something that I'm really committed to being more of for you. Now, before we dive into all that today, if you're managing Facebook ads for other people, or maybe you're looking to start a Facebook ads business, got a really important question for you. Are you ready to stop selling while confidently and consistently growing your Facebook ads business? I am so excited because this is a brand new free live virtual training series that I've got coming up for you, where I'm going to be teaching you all about how to effortlessly attract high quality clients while not having to sell. This virtual training series is called 3 Steps to Consistently Close High Quality Facebook Ad Clients, How to Stop Selling so that you can confidently grow your ads business. And this free live training series and Q&A series kicks off on July 26th. And I could not be more pumped up about this, as this is something brand new that I'm doing. I've been working on this for a long time now. Really excited to bring it to you. So to register for this free live virtual training series, go to rickmulready.com/FBAdClients. I'll say that again, rickmulready.com/FBAdClients. And you can register for that free live virtual training series right there. I'll also put that link in the show notes for today's episode, which is rickmulready.com/200. All right, my friends, let's do this. Let's dive into my being interviewed by Amy Porterfield.
Rick Mulready, welcome to the show.
This is the first time I've ever been welcomed to my own show.
Right?
And probably probably the first time I've actually been nervous on my own show, too.
You should be nervous because I've got some good questions to ask you. Let's start at the top here. What is your middle name? I already know the answer, guys, and wait till you hear it. So, actually, tell me your first and your middle name.
My birth name or what I go by right now and my middle name? Because okay, that's different.
What you go by right now and your middle name.
I know where you're going with this. Rick James.
Rick James of Super Freak.
Make your Super Freak jokes now. Yes.
I was dying, you guys. I was saying when I was taking notes, like, well, what's your middle name? And he says, James. And I'm like, your name is Rick James. I was not aware of
this. Which is hilarious that you did, that you never knew that.
No, I never knew this. Okay, I'm going to learn some new things about you today.
You are.
For sure.
You are.
And I'm going to ask questions that I think your listeners are really going to want to know about you. And the greatest thing is I know a lot about you.
Yes.
So I get to dig in a little bit deep.
Cool. I'm both excited and scared at the same time.
Again, you should be. So here's my first question. I'll start out easy. What was your first concert?
John Denver.
Stop it. You guys, we're going to really learn some about
We're going
NBA.
Deep here. So
John Denver. Who you?
My mom used to be a huge John Denver fan. Well, she still is. She loves John Denver. And I'll never forget, we went as a family to the Portland, Maine. I remember this at the used to be called the Cumberland County Civic Center. It was John Denver. We had like floor seats. And I was like bored out of my mind because I don't remember the age, but I was very young. That was very young.
Yeah. That if you're very young, John Denver's not going to be too cool to you.
Which the irony there is like later, I'm actually a John Denver fan. I like his music now. Like,
right. I mean, I do too. But back in the day, to say that was your first concert, that's kind of hilarious.
That was awful. Yeah. Like I was just so bored out of my mind. The first real concert I went to, I'll call it, was Van Halen. Okay. And I was like 12 or 13. And I saw them actually at the same place in Portland, Maine, having grown up in New Hampshire, and it was a general admission show. This is back when like you'd like line up in front of the doors hours before the show and then they'd open and like it would just be like a huge crush of people. I'll never forget this. We literally ran, like the doors open. I was with my buddy and I literally hung on to the back of his shirt and he just said, when the doors open, we're gonna run. Just hold on. And so it was Van Halen 5150 with Sammy Hagar, and it was awesome.
Okay, so that's way cooler. You just upped your cool factor, Rick James.
I appreciate
just
that.
A little bit.
I appreciate
just
that.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my next question. You are a major coffee snob. Like, it's almost embarrassing ordering coffee with you, like at Starbucks.
I just came back from, I had a team meeting this morning with my team at, they just opened up a Better Buzz here in my neighborhood,
which is to die for.
I came back and I said,
don't
to my,
even say
I came back
like
and said
Better
Amy
Buzz.
I said, okay, I officially like Starbucks coffee better than Better Buzz. It was not good. And like I love the interior of the place, but the coffee was awful. And the funny thing about that, I didn't have coffee until I met Amy, my wife. And
what?
Yeah, so we've known each other for 8.5 years now. So I never drank it before. And
but why are you such a snob about it?
I don't know. The taste of it's got to be there. The taste of it. And I just took, actually, you don't know this. I just took an espresso class.
Of course you did.
2 weeks ago. and Amy, so my birthday is coming up here in July. And Amy was like, what do you want for your birthday? I'm the hardest person to buy for. And I said, you know what I really want? I'm like laughing about this because I'm embarrassed to say, I really want a new coffee scale. And she's like,
stop it.
She's like, are you being serious right now? I was like, oh yeah, I want a coffee scale. So
what is that? I don't even know
what
that
is. It's like when you make espresso, because we have an espresso machine at home, you're supposed to, what I learned about from this class is I learned that I had no idea what I was doing when I was making coffee before. Like there is there's a certain way to do it. I mean, it's super, you know, it's super coffee snobby and like you have to measure everything out and it's like a certain amount of grams and like certain amount of pressure and the grind has to be all this stuff. And like, I'm nerding out about it. Like last night, I had the espresso machine apart. I was like cleaning it and stuff. And she's like, are you almost done over there? Because you are such a nerd right now.
You are. So. He has this thing for coffee, guys. Yeah. Definitely. And he doesn't order any kind of special coffee, like no frappuccinos, no mochas, no anything like that. He's just going for the real stuff.
The good stuff. The good stuff. Definitely. And we haven't talked about this either, but I stopped doing bulletproof coffee like 2 months ago.
Okay, it's my favorite thing. I do it every day. So why would you stop?
I wasn't feeling good from my diet was very, very fat heavy. And for a long time, for like a few years, I felt better on a higher fat diet. And I got to a point where I wasn't feeling that anymore. I just wasn't feeling good physically. And so I decided to like sort of reverse, like it's like up my carbs and lowered my fat. And part of the lowering the fat was like, all right, let's try this without bulletproof coffee. And I'm actually liking it better.
Oh, interesting.
So, the
things we are learning.
I know.
Okay. I'm going to ask you some work questions. Like I'm curious about what a typical day looks like for you. I'm curious why you started a business in Facebook ads. Mm-hmm. Like we're going to get to some business stuff, but let's do one more real personal one. How did you meet Amy, your now wife, who is now pregnant with first baby?
Yes. We're having a baby girl later this year. We'll call it
which
later.
Which we
we'll call
definitely later need to year. Talk about that.
Yes.
But how did you meet Amy?
I she says that I stalked her.
I agree with her.
I like to
I know
say,
the story.
I like to say that I noticed her at the gym. And
you guys know
when I want something, I go after it. And that sounds terrible, but
it does.
Basically, when I lived in LA, I used to go to Equinox, which is a gym there in LA, and it was the Westwood one, and she was a trainer there. I started noticing her at the gym. And at Equinox, they have plaques of all the trainers. So they have like their headshots and like their name and like, you know, their certifications and all this, what they specialize in and stuff like that. So me being the curious one that I am, I went over to the board to find her, like find out who this person was. And so I went home and I Googled her to see what I could find. And her Facebook page came up, was the first result. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll go check it out. It turned out that we had, you know, this was back when they had like recommended friends in the upper right hand corner of the Facebook page. And we had a mutual friend. And this was actually a girl who used to work for me at AOL who had moved out to LA to be an actress. And so I was like, oh, you know, so-and-so knows this girl, Amy. So I reached out to her. I was like, hey, what do you know about this girl, Amy? She's like, oh my God, she's great. But I haven't talked to her in like 2 years. And I hadn't talked to this person in like 2 years. So I was like, what the hell? I got nothing to lose. And so long story short, I just asked her if she would connect us. And long story short is Amy had wanted no part of it. She had just gotten out of a relationship before that. And finally, I think her roommate convinced her to do it and called it a practice date. Like, go meet this guy for lunch as a practice date because you, you know, are coming out of a bad relationship. And, you know, long story short, that's how it happened. We met for lunch though, and I told my friend who introduced us, I said, don't tell her though, like how this all went down, because then she'll think it's really freaky.
And did your friend tell? Was it a guy or a girl?
It was a girl. She did not tell.
Okay, good.
And I just said, you know, just let her know that she just came up as a recommended friend on Facebook. And so that's what we did. And I knew that she would Google. So there was like 2 weeks in between when we set the lunch up and when the lunch was actually happening. And I was at the gym during that time. And I was like, man, I know she's going to Google me or whatever. So I hope she doesn't see me and like make that connection. I'll never forget. I was sitting on the stretching mat there at Equinox and she was with a client and I watched her come across the room coming right towards me. And I was like, as we're on camera right now, I'm like turning myself as she was coming towards me, I turned my back like so that she would be behind me and she wouldn't see. And I had a hat on, so I pulled my hat on down. I was like really paranoid that she was going to do this.
You dork.
Didn't see me. I know. Didn't see me. And anyway, we had the lunch. And when she walked into the lunch, I was like, man, I was super nervous because I don't know about this whole lie, basically.
Right.
And I was like, man, you look really familiar.
Stop
like,
it,
where do
Rick.
You work? She goes, yeah, I'm a trainer over at Equinox. I go, that's why I recognize you because I go to, she goes, do you go there? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, like it was like immediate, like we broke the ice. And I was like, boom, boom, I'm okay. in.
So when did you tell her the truth that I was talking to you?
Fourth date. She's telling, we're in Venice Beach. We're having dinner. We've had some wine at that point. And she's telling me some stories about how guys had come up to her and asked her out at the gym and like just really creepy kind of ways and stuff like that. And my, I guess my face turned white or red or something. And she's like, is there anything else about how we met? Like that I don't know. And I was like, well, it was nice while it lasted.
Oh no.
So I came clean, told her the whole story. And
but then she liked you. So it was okay.
Basically, yes. And she was both freaked out and creeped out, but also she appreciated the effort that I took to meet her. And she just said to me yesterday, she said, can you imagine like thinking back to that lunch we had at Coral Tree in Brentwood? She's like, that I would be the mother of your child, right? Like coming Crazy. Up. I was like, no, not at all. So
speaking of that, So the fact that you're going to become a dad.
Yeah.
What is going through your mind right now about that whole thing?
I am so unbelievably excited. I'm so excited about it, but I'm also scared to death.
Yeah.
I was just telling Amy this morning, I said, I'm kind of in that, I'm feeling all these different things. Like I'm super excited. I'm also super scared. And I'm also ready for like this to happen. But at the same time, at the time we're recording this, she is, well, when this comes out, she'll be 20 and a half weeks.
Okay.
And so like, this is amazing. Like it's, I've learned so much and like, you know.
Have you been reading a bunch of books?
Yes.
Yes.
And there's this amazing app. It's called Ovia, O-V-I-A, that we've been following. It just, it like documents the whole thing and everything like that.
Aww.
And so I just said to her this morning, I was like, I want this to happen. Like I'm so ready for it. But at the same time, I want to be present to where we're at in the process. You Good. Know, her belly's getting bigger now. And like, I talk to her belly and stuff. And so I'm just so excited, but I'm also feeling all these different things. And, you know, I mean, normal stuff too, like, I want to make sure I can support, you know, I want to make sure that we're okay. And how is my schedule going to change? And I'm a very, I know we're going to talk about, you know, what does a typical day look like,
but
I'm very like, I have my like a routine oriented.
Right.
And when I get thrown off that, it kind of throws me off altogether. And so I'm like, well, when the baby comes, their like routine's going to go out the window and we're going to have to figure out what that new routine looks like. And so all that stuff, I'm thinking about all that stuff, but mostly I'm so excited. You know, I mean, we're doing this a little bit later in life. So we've had a lot of, you know, time to prepare and stuff like that. And I wasn't always super positive or you know,
right.
definite that I was going to have a kid. We got engaged in Paris, and I'll never forget, we just talked about this a couple weeks ago. I'll never forget that same day we were walking around Paris and we were at Napoleon's tomb, and she brought up the whole like having a kid. And I was kind of wishy-washy, and I literally just proposed to her a couple hours before that. And like it totally threw her for a loop because we hadn't like really talked about it and come up with a definitive yes or no. And I was really wishy-washy. And we kind of got into a like was not wow. good like a few hours after we got engaged. And so anyway, it's kind of been up and down. But over the past few years, it's been like, yeah, I'm ready to do this and super, super excited. My dad, I know that you know this. I lost my dad when I was 25 to colon cancer. Next month will be 21 years. And he was the greatest influence on me, my closest friend, like just miss him every single day. And I'm excited to, you know, take everything that I learned from him for my baby girl. So,
yes,
yeah,
I love that.
And you're excited because when we have coffee, I'm not going to be able to like, I will not be able to touch my baby.
Have rules.
She's going to be in your arms. Yes.
Yes. When the baby comes to coffee and we try to do it at least once a month, if not more, he cannot even touch the baby. She's all mine. I get all of her.
And you were very clear about this months ago.
Months ago. I have already set the rules. Yes. I cannot even wait. I love babies. So cool. Bring it on. Okay, so let's talk about before the baby comes.
Yep.
What does a typical day look like for you?
This is something that's been I mean, it's been since the fall of 2012, since I left the corporate world. Yeah. And it is, so that's almost 6 years now. And I can say, I don't know if I'm embarrassed to say this, but I'm still looking for that, what works best for me.
Yeah.
I will say that I just recently changed up my morning routine and I love it. I love it.
Okay, tell me about that.
Do you want to hear what it used to be or do you want to hear what it is now?
I want to hear what it used to be and why you changed it.
So number one, I always shower when I get up, like right away, regardless of whether I'm going to the gym shortly, it wakes me up. So I take a shower right away. And normally I would come out, have some water, and then I would meditate. I'd meditate for like about 10 minutes or so. And then I would do some reading, have coffee at that point, and then I would kind of get into work from there. Well, what I was finding was it was kind of getting later and later in the day, like later in the morning, to before I got into things like really, really tackling stuff that I needed to get done. And so what I decided to, and then the other thing too, was that Amy was like, well, I love when we go for walks during the day. And there was, you know, we're both very similar. Like if we get trapped in our offices here because we both work from home, if we don't get out during the day, like if we're just, you know, in here doing a lot of work and stuff like that, we both feel it. We both get antsy. And so this happened, I don't know, about a month or so ago where that happened to her. And then she went out later in the morning and she felt so much better when she came back and she was all rejuvenated, stuff like that. And she suggested, I know you're always asking me, I'm always asking her to go for a walk and stuff. And she's like, nah, like no. So then she's like, why don't we go for a walk in the morning? So what I've done now is I've completely reversed it. So I get up early. I'm up around 5:30 or so. I don't know if that's early for some people, but I'm up around 5:30 and take my shower. And so by 6 o'clock, I'm working. I'm not meditating right away anymore. So first 30 minutes showering, getting water and all that stuff like that. 6 o'clock, laptop's open and I start working. And I'll work for about an hour and a half or so. And I'm tackling the most important, whatever I need to focus on right away. And then Amy gets up and she does her meditation. And in that time, I am having some coffee and I'm having a little something to eat at that point. And then when she's ready, we go for our walk at that point. And it's literally around the block. I mean, it's like 10 minutes. It's not that long. Just to kind of get outside, get some light. And when we come back, I'm having breakfast. And so that's kind of my break. And then I get back into work. But during that time, I started writing down all my fears. Mm-hmm. And then right after that, I go into gratitude.
Nice.
And so, I mean, it's literally 5 minutes. It's not long at all. But then I go into that and then I go right into work again. And I've felt so much more productive in the morning because I'm a morning person. Like the later the day goes, you're like, no. So it just worked out really, really well. So that's how I'm structuring my morning. And that kind of goes right through lunch, but I'm also taking breaks after that. And then I'll do some lunch. And in the afternoons, it all kind of depends on what I've done. And I know you and I've talked about this a lot. Is I have 2 days, Tuesdays and Thursdays, where I take most of my calls, my meetings. I meet with my team, all that stuff on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then Monday, Wednesdays and Fridays are more for content and stuff like that. And then I'm also training I have a trainer that I work with on Tuesdays, Thursdays and Saturdays in the afternoon. And so what I'm trying to do is, and so I'm working a lot, but at the same time, I love it. Like I love, this is something you and I talk about a lot, but what I'm working on as well, based on your interview or your, episode with Brooke Castillo is the whole, I do the same thing that you do. And like, I was like, okay, I have all day to do this.
Right.
And I will fill that time. You know, what is that? Is it Parkinson's law, right? The task will expand to the amount of time that you give it. And so I'm very, for lack of a better way to say it, guilty of that. And so I'm trying to truncate that. I'm saying, okay, you know what? I have 3 hours to do this. And then boom, like let's do it. And
it's a game changer.
Yeah. So I'm trying to take more breaks and stuff like that during the day. And you know, because I'm one that once I get into a flow or a rhythm, it's hard for me to get out of that. What I have realized though, and this is something I struggled with for a long time, is that when I would kind of hit a block, like I did this happen yesterday, when I'd hit a block and I'd kind of just like slow down and like just kind of start to get all over the place. Normally I would try to push through it. instead now I'm like, I'm out. I go like, get outside, go to the gym, something. Like yesterday I went to the gym, came back, and I was like super, you know, pumped back up. All right, clear headed, boom, right back into it. So
nice.
It is a work in progress.
Now, you mentioned that you and Amy both work from home. And so how do you set some boundaries? How do you shut it off so you're not working all the time?
This was a big challenge for us for the first few years of the business.
I bet.
Because I would work, and it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different now in that I have the second bedroom where I work. I mean, that's going to change because this is going to be the baby's nursery. But before, especially before early on, we were in a one bedroom apartment and both of our desks were in the living room area.
Oh man.
Which was a disaster. And
I remember that.
Yeah, it just wasn't optimal. It wasn't good at all. But anyway, what I used to do is I would work right into the evening. And, you know, whereas she's much better at shutting off, you know, in the afternoon. And then so anyway, it's been a very big work in progress, much better at it. I am stopping, you know, I stop later in the afternoon, you know, later in the afternoon, and then we do dinner together and, you know, we have our evenings together. And we're also much better at communicating, where I will tell her, like this happened yesterday, where if I stop work and go right into something with her, there will often, it will take me some time to kind of transition.
And I think talking about that with your spouse or partner is so important.
Yeah. Like yesterday I had to go to this eye appointment and she had to take me because I had to get my eyes dilated so I couldn't drive after. And I was literally finishing, I forget what it was, but I was working on some stuff and then we immediately left for it. And she was sharing some stuff with me. I could feel that I wasn't very present to it. And I just apologized to her and I said, it's nothing personal. I said, I'm still in that transition mode. And yeah. So as long as we're communicating about it, it's worked out so much better. And
I love that.
Yeah. And again, this is going to be something else that's different when the baby comes, in that I'm going to have an office outside of the house, you know, so that will be a new thing to get used to, but it's so much better than it used to be.
So good. Okay. So let's kind of stay on the theme of work for a little bit longer. And I want to ask you some questions of kind of behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So first, let's just talk about why you decided to create a business around teaching Facebook advertising. Like that's where you got your start, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So yeah, this is something I actually don't really talk about a whole lot.
No, I don't even know the answer to this. So tell me.
So this really came about when I was in the corporate world and I spent at that time, I had 12 and a half years in corporate online advertising, worked for AOL for 5 years, worked for Yahoo for a couple of years, worked for Funny or Die, worked for another company called Vibrant Media. And I started out early 2000s doing, this was a group at AOL called Advertising Operations. So I started out as one of the people doing it. Then I was running half the team there, but we implemented all the advertising deals. So the sales team was out there selling and my team was actually implementing what they were selling on the AOL service. Okay. So I got to see that side of things and then it started to progress. And so when I left there, when I came out here to the West Coast, my next job was at Yahoo. And I started off as an account manager working in the online advertising team. So I was working with these big brands like Nissan and so forth. And then I went into sales from there. So then I was selling to these big brands and then it was all selling after that. So at Funny or Die, I was selling. Vibrant Media was selling. I mean, that's all I knew. Like I was online advertising for 12 and a half years. I know it inside and out. And so in 2010, I started getting itchy, like there's something else. Like I was getting introduced to this whole online business thing. And I started following this guy named Adam Baker, who used to run a site called Man Versus Debt. And he just started this site documenting how he and his family got out of debt and they used to travel around and stuff like that. And I reached out to him for coaching, told him what I wanted to do. And I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I'll never forget, he charged me $500 a month for coaching. I don't know how often we're meeting, but you know, the first thing he said to me is like, okay, what is this business going to be? And I was like, I have no idea. And we got down to, he's like, you know what? You're interested in Facebook. You have this massive background in online advertising. why don't you check out Facebook ads? Why don't you start learning Facebook ads and teaching Facebook ads and create... the first thing I was going to do was start managing ads for other businesses, but also start teaching it, like create an ebook. And so that was my first introduction, basically, to Facebook ads because of my background and because of what this guy suggested. And I just loved it. And this is back when all it was that little tiny image on the right hand side and the few lines of text. And, you know, it just came very easy to me because that's my background. Like, you know, this stuff, like all the terminology and online marketing and, you know, how to advertise, like, all, like it just comes naturally to me because I've been doing it now for 18 and a half years.
What's interesting about that is if you look at all the Facebook ad experts out there, people that teach others how to do Facebook advertising and just paid advertising in general, there are so few that could say, I have over 10 years experience in paid advertising at places like Funny or Die or Yahoo or AOL. So that's very unique.
Yeah, I was just talking to... It was funny. I was just in Montana a couple weeks ago fly fishing, and I fished with this guide, and it was a new guide I'd never worked with before. And he was telling me this other thing that he does, and he was talking about he's a writer, and he writes screenplays for commercials for brands and stuff like that. And he's like, yeah, these brands hire us to make these, you know, sort of... You know, I was like, yeah, it's called brand entertainment. I was like, I was doing brand entertainment for Funny or Die back in 2011. And he's like, holy cow, like it's that stuff's been around for a long time. But now it's more becoming, because advertising is evolving, it's becoming more of sort of the go-to thing. Whereas back when I was doing it with Funny or Die, the minimum to be able to work with the Funny or Die team to be able to create, you know, a brand entertainment video or a series was several hundred thousand dollars.
Wow.
Whereas, you know, that has since come down from there. But
so has changed.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that we know why you got into Facebook advertising, if you could do it all over again, if you could start from scratch right now, what is one thing that you would do differently?
I would have started earlier. I fumbled.
Meaning you would have quit corporate earlier?
Well, I mean, I feel like I quit when I feel like that timing was what it was, like, because I told myself that I needed to get out of debt. I was $75,000 in debt and I didn't have any savings. And I was like, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I want to be out of debt and I want to have some savings. So it just, you know, that timing worked out as it is what it is. And I'm fine with that. The thing that I wish I did sooner, though, was from October 2012 all through 2013, I was fumbling. I had no idea what I was doing. And I'd kind of evolved past where Adam, like my original coach there, had taken me. I wish I had gotten help sooner to really get the business going. Because like we were talking about earlier, as far as like having a task, like having a set amount of time and saying, well, I have all this time, I have to get this done. So I had plenty of time to do it. That's how my mindset was at that point. I was saying, oh, I have $100,000 in the bank. I'm in no rush to do this. I'm in no rush to make this happen. But then I remember it was like September of that year. I'm starting to burn through savings at that point. I was like, I got to get this going here or I'm going back to corporate. And nothing against corporate. I just knew that that was something I didn't want to do. And so I would say that would be the big thing that I would change is I would have sought coaching or help or mentorship early. Much earlier than I did, because I look at it as I kind of lost 15 months before actually getting things going in January 2014.
Yeah, I hear you on that one. Now, tell me this. If you look back at all the success, and you've had some really big success. You were on my podcast recently. We talked about you hitting $1 million within one calendar year. That is a huge milestone that most people will never hit. And not your followers, of course, but that's a big one. Mm-hmm. And so you've had some amazing success. And I've seen you grind and make it happen and stay dedicated. But I know you, so I know the secrets behind all the success. And I know that sometimes you feel like it's just all going to go away. Would that be true?
100%. And I don't like that.
Talk to me about
that. I don't like to admit that, you know, because you and I have talked about that in the past.
It's a hard one.
Privately. And
sorry, God. Sorry, Rick James.
Privately. Rick James. Oh, I'm going to regret
for
saying
your
that, telling
lifetime,
you that.
Yeah, I'm literally all... never not calling you Rick James from now on.
Yeah. Like the funny thing is that the more I have this conversation with people, or if this comes up with a lot of our friends, like who, you know, that we both mutually know, and I've had this conversation a number of times, and it's a pretty common thing, believe it or not. Like, and a lot of people don't talk about it, but yeah, there's been, and it's much less now, because I've been able to, you know, I've been doing it for 4.5 years, and that's really not a long time, but in this whole internet space, it kind of is a long time. But I've just learned how to, like, what I've realized is, as long as there are people to serve, there will always be revenue coming in. But with that, it has taken me a while to get there and to feel secure that things are going to be fine, right?
Yes.
If a launch goes poorly, I know that, okay, that's not the end of the business, and that I can always just, you know, do something else or fix whatever, you know, whatever we realize, you know, what was the problem there. But for a long time, yeah, I was like, is this going to go away? Things have been really, like, we've had growth in revenue since January 24th, so every year since. Like, there's always that fear, or there has been that fear of like, what if it goes away? What if it stops? Then what?
Yes.
And there was that fear of like, ooh, am I going to have to go back to corporate?
Always.
And again, yeah. Like, I hate, like, again, nothing against corporate. I just didn't, that was not for me. And I was always... like just that sort of rebellious type of person when in the corporate world, meaning like I just did not like answering to other people and like I want to do things my way and all this other stuff. But yeah, that was a really big block for me. Like,
I feel like you've come a long way because we've talked about this topic for years now and it doesn't seem to be at the forefront anymore. But last time we were at coffee, you talked to me how you had made a shift, and I might get this a little bit wrong, but it was almost like you had a mission as to what you were doing and why you were doing it. Do you remember that? It was almost like who you were serving and why you were serving them.
Yep.
Talk to me about that.
Yeah. I mean, so sort of the epiphany, if you will. So I work with ad managers. So people who want to manage Facebook ads for other people. And I just love serving them and working with them because I can transform their business very quickly, like very quickly, going from, you know what, whether you don't know Facebook ads and you want to have a Facebook ads business, or maybe you're kind of starting that business, you know, some Facebook ads, and you're kind of fumbling around with some clients. And so I can transform that very quickly. And I love that because not only can I help that person like have a better business and thus a better life, but then that person is helping clients have better businesses and better lives. And then that business has their clients. And so it, like, I call this the ripple effect, where I'm helping one person, but then that person is helping so many other people. So I'm indirectly helping all these other people. And same thing with, you know, online business owners, or, you know, online experts basically. And, you know, if they are, you know, if they have a course or a coach or consulting, whatever, same thing, they're helping other people. So I'm helping them, who in turn are they're helping other customers and so forth. So there's that ripple effect of me helping all these other people through the people I'm directly helping. And that was never really clear for me for a long time. It just sort of made the vision of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it so much more clear. And like, that wasn't, it took me a while to get there. It wasn't always, it wasn't always like, oh, duh, like that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Which I think is so important for your listeners to hear, that you didn't get there right away, but you still had success along the way.
Yep.
And I feel like this is a new aha moment for you that was a big one.
Totally.
So let's throw your listeners a bone, because I want to get into some deep, dark stuff. So get ready.
Okay.
But let's, before we get there, let's throw your listeners a bone. And what's one thing that most businesses overlook when trying to start with Facebook ads?
They don't start with a goal. They don't start with a strategy. You know, they just say like, I want to just start my Facebook ads. I want to get some Facebook ads up and do this. And they don't do it strategically. So that is a surefire way to be losing money.
Give me an example. Like what would be an example of a really good goal for Facebook ads?
So they could, you know, it could be like, well, I want to sell my product, you know, whatever that, let's call it a course.
Yeah.
Okay, great. How are you going to sell that course? Well, what's the, like, what is the strategy look like? So what we do, what I like to teach is like working backwards from that goal. So, okay, in order for someone to buy my course, let's just say it's a $1,000 course. Well, what are the steps that need to happen in order for someone to actually purchase that course? Well, someone who doesn't know who you are is not going to just whip their credit card out and say, hey, you know, here's my credit card for $1,000. Like you have to, you know, you have to position yourself. You have to establish a relationship with them. You have to position yourself as the go-to person and build that trust. I know that you like talk about that know, like, and trust factor. Like you have to build that. And so what is the sales mechanism that's going to allow you to do that? Maybe it's a webinar. Maybe it's a training series, whatever it might be. And it's like, okay, cool. Once we establish that, how are we going to get people into that mechanism, that webinar, that training series, whatever it is? Maybe it starts with an opt-in that then we're going to, you know, we're going to invite them into whatever that is. In which case the Facebook ad comes in of sending people to that first opt-in. It starts the relationship basically. Whereas, you know, other people just, they, you know, most, some people, I should say a lot of people just come into it with like, without the strategy behind it. You know, they're like, well, my goal is to get people to, opt in for this. Okay, great. But what are you going to do with them? What is the goal of getting them to opt in for X, Y, or Z? And so that's the biggest mistake I see people make, is that they don't start with that overarching strategy, because again, that's like, it's great to have that front end success with your Facebook ads, but what are you going to be doing with those people that's really going to make the difference there?
I've been to a lot of your one day live event workshops, or maybe they're more mm-hmm. than one day, but I've seen you teach this and it's good stuff, like walking through it. So I'm glad you brought that up. It's a big pivotal moment for a lot of people that are like, oh, that's why this isn't working for me. Mm-hmm. I've got to back this up.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, so I'm totally switching gears here and let's just talk a little bit longer because I still got some really good questions for you. One thing I know about you is that since you were a little boy, you have struggled with eczema.
Oh,
is that true?
Yes, it is. Yep.
And I wanted to talk to you about this because, and you told me, Amy, when you interview me, there's nothing off limits. And so I was hesitant to bring this one up because it's so personal.
Yeah.
But the reason I want to bring it up is that some days are really bad for you.
Yeah.
Other days, if someone saw you, they would have no idea. But I see you a lot. So I know the days where you're struggling. Mm-hmm. And I also know that it's really brought you down in the past. There's some times that you've had some dark moments with it.
Yeah.
But I feel like you've really come a long way. So I want you to talk a little bit about, tell people what eczema is if they don't know. And he's smiling right now. You guys can't see him, but I can. It's kind of like, why'd you bring this up? But I want you to talk about what it is and then what it's kind of, has it held you back in doing video and putting yourself out there? But then I feel like you've made a lot of strides. So if anyone's struggling with showing themselves, getting on video, you're a great example, but people might not even know you struggle with this.
Well, I appreciate that. And yeah, that's a hard thing to, and it's ironic that you're asking me and it's bringing up that uncomfortableness, I guess is what you say.
I could see it in your face.
And when it happens, I start scratching.
Yeah.
And so it's just, it's a reaction that I have and I've had my entire life. And it's so much better than it used to be when I was a kid. And I think a lot of it is like the type of food, just cleaning up my diet and stuff like that. But yeah, it's been the challenge that I have with it is I'm very self-conscious of it. Mm-hmm. I've sort of, as you mentioned there, I appreciate you saying that, I've become better at just owning it. Like this is, you know, this is, and I've tried everything. I like, you name it, I have tried it. I've tried like standing in an infrared box, like literally I did that when I was in LA, and I would go multiple times a week, and it was like, it was almost like a stand up tanning bed type thing, which is supposed to be good for eczema. Like it didn't help me. I've tried everything.
Just a heads up, because doing a podcast like this, there's going to be a lot of people that will want to give you advice about it. And I'm not joking when Rick says he really has tried everything and he's on a really good routine that's helping him. So, because Rick, you literally could get hundreds of recommendations.
I appreciate that. Yeah. And I know it's all coming from a place of caring.
All from good place.
Sure. But yeah, it is something that I'm very self-conscious of. My skin tends to be redder than I would like, but it is what it is. And I would say it does, make it harder for me to get on camera, like to do video, because I'm very self-conscious of it. But the ironic thing is, like, once I get on camera and I get on a roll, I have no problem with it. And I really enjoy it. Same thing for getting on stage. Like, put me, like, get me on stage to speak. And once I get over that self-consciousness of, like, you know, I think, like, I will see something. I'll see, like, some eczema that I have or whatever, whereas no one else would notice it, but I notice it. So I think, well, people are looking directly at that.
Right.
And they're judging me because of it. I think that's the biggest thing is that...
What do you think they're judging you of? What are they thinking?
It's this story that I've made up in my mind that I'm being judged because I have like this red rashy stuff, you know, on my hands or on my arms or my neck or what on my face, whatever it might be. I feel like I'm being judged for it when, you know, sometimes maybe I am, but mostly people don't give a crap. You know, they don't even notice it.
Right.
You know,
so what advice would you give people? They might not have eczema, but they have something else. And they're thinking, I get on video and that's all people are going to see.
Yeah, it's honestly getting over. And I know this sounds so easy to do, but it's just getting over it. And like, we're all going to be judged. Like, we're being judged right now. People are listening to the show and they're like, I can't even, like, this is crap, you know?
Right.
Like, it's if we're gonna put ourselves out there to try to help people, we're gonna be judged regardless of what we're doing. There's always gonna be people who are judging us. So we can't control that. And it's, I think for me, it's been remembering that and just owning it. And also just being like, you know what? This is me. This is part of what makes me who I am. And I'm just gonna go for it. I have gotten so much better with it, to your point earlier. I have found that controlling my stress and sleep are the two big things. Now, here's something, like, you and I definitely haven't talked about this, but this is something that my mind has already gone to. And this is kind of how my brain...
I know
brain,
where you're going.
My brain thinks about this already.
Yeah.
Is I'm already, you know, 6 months ahead, new baby, very little sleep... sleep deprived, you know, more stress. What is my eczema going to be like? My brain's already having that conversation right now. And we're in July, you know? So, you know, it's just like, I'm gonna do the best that I can, but
yeah,
sleep and controlling the stress have been the biggest things that have really helped me.
Now, speaking of controlling the stress, I have two last questions for you. Mm-hmm. You've had some moments of high anxiety, and I know that you've had some periods in your life that were really, really tough.
Yep.
So when it comes to a lot of anxiety, I know you've dealt with perfectionism. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, when you get stressed, the eczema comes out. Mm-hmm. So how have you gotten yourself out of that?
Yeah, this was something that I literally had this. I made the connection earlier this year. I mean, this late in my life, like, but it's taken me this long to make the connection of that I have had sort of an underlying low level anxiety my entire life.
Wow.
And I will never forget back when I was in, I want to say eighth grade going into high school. So I went to Catholic grade school, second through eighth grade, and all of my classes were like 25 people.
I did not know you went to Catholic grade school.
Yeah. And then I'll never forget this conversation. My mom said, do you want to go to the public high school in town? So I grew up in Hampton, New Hampshire, and the high school had 1,300 people in it total. That was huge for my town. Around here, that's like one grade, right?
Right.
But or she said, you can go to the Catholic high school. And I was like, I'm going to go to the public high school, because I'd grown up playing sports and all the, you know, most of the kids I was playing with and stuff like that, they were going to be at this high school. So that was my chance to go there. But I was so freaked out and nervous about that, because I was going from this very tiny school into a big school. And so my anxiety really started to kick in around eighth grade for me. And actually, I take that back, around seventh grade. And I started becoming a worrier. And it's funny, not funny, but I remember this very distinctly. I used to worry about worrying, because when I would worry, I'd make myself sick. I would I'd upset my stomach and I'd throw up and stuff like that. And so it was that very early on in high school. And then it kind of dipped. It kind of went up and down the rest of my life. And then it reared its ugly head again, ironically, when I left the corporate world to do my own business. And it became pretty constant. And you mentioned some dark, like we talked about this on your podcast, that I actually, this is the first time I'm sharing it on my show, is that in 2015, yeah, we were living in San Diego, and I was really stressed out. Now, you talked about before about like, you know, work, like how do we, the boundaries and stuff like that. I remember this was at a time when I was working well into the evenings and stuff like that, and basically ignoring Amy. And I'll never forget, like, my skin was so bad. My eczema was so bad that I was ready to do. I was, number one, I was in a very dark place, like very depressed, like questioning what I was doing in all the assets of my life. Like, why am I here? What am I doing? All this. Like, I was in a very dark place.
Right.
And then I also, for my skin, I was ready to do anything. Like, I remember Googling like these special studies, and I remember calling a hospital in Boston to talk to their special department about this test that they were doing for people with eczema. And I was like desperate to change this. And it was all because of this anxiety and perfectionism and stuff like that. And I have come a long way.
Yes, you have.
I am not going to say that it's completely gone, but I've worked so hard with this, whether it's from, you know, my own stuff as far as reading, listening to stuff, my friends, coaches, therapists, like all that stuff. I've really wanted to, this is no way to live, right? And so I've done so much work on this that, like, it gets me emotional, like just talking about it. Like, this, it just comes down to like, this is no way to live. You know, I'm here to, I think that's, honestly, I think that's one very big reason why I'm so excited about being a dad, is that that's going to be a major purpose for me. And, you know, my purpose up to this point has been to serve. And I know that the more that I come from a place of service and love and caring, that is my purpose. And that alleviates the anxiety for me as well.
I love that.
Does that kind of answer your question?
It does. And I think we're going to wrap up, but I thought that's a really good place to end, because you were in a dark place. I remember it like it was yesterday, you coming into Starbucks, and we both sat there and we both had tears in our eyes because you scared me. I knew you were struggling. And then to watch you, and it makes me feel emotional to watch what you've done since then.
Yeah.
And how you've gotten to a place that you said, I'm not going to live like this. And I've got a lot to offer. And you've stepped into it and you've owned it. And there's so many people, Rick, that tell me you changed their business, you changed their life, and they adore you and they learn so much from you. So thank God you kept going.
I think I appreciate that. I think too, that I have this, like, I just look at myself as a regular guy. And
you're very much like, yeah, people can relate to you in that way.
Yeah. Thank you. And I just, when people say that, like when they see me at, or like when, if I meet somebody at a conference or something and they like take a picture with me or whatever, like, I still just think that's really, I mean, I'm so flattered, but I'm just like, right. I'm just a regular guy, you know, like I'm just like, I feel like one of my gifts is teaching. I feel like I'm very good at it, but I think in all of that, just realizing that that's what I'm here to do. And I would say, you know, a good way to wrap this up too, and very relevant for what we're talking about as far as how I've alleviated the anxiety and as far as worrying about the money and all this other stuff, is that, and this is something that Jim Fortin taught me, is that, I always get it wrong the first time. Happiness doesn't come from money. Money comes from happiness.
Say it one more time.
Happiness doesn't come from money. Money comes from happiness. So when you are happy first, then the money comes. The happiness is not going to come as a result of the money. And I think, and for me, for so many years, I had it flipped around. I was like, oh, when I have the money, then I'll be happy. No,
yes.
No, it's the other way around. Got to be happy first, be grateful for where you're at right now and what you have, and then the money will come as a result of that. And I think it took me a long time to realize that, and I have realized that, and I'm so much happier because of it.
So good. Okay, I have one bonus question and then we're really going to wrap it up.
Cool.
And you cannot answer this with like a general sweeping question. It has to be very specific. We're going to make a prediction. Okay, you ready?
Okay.
When your baby girl goes out into the work world and she decides to become something, mm-hmm. what is your prediction of what she's going to do in this world? And it cannot be she's going to change lives or going to do great things. That's a given. But mm-hmm. if you had to make a prediction as to what she'd be doing in this world as a job, as her mission in life, mm-hmm. what is it going to be?
Holy cow. I have no
you
idea.
You have to make a guess.
I will
so
say,
we can come back to it.
I will say that I do not think I see her being, I mean, and granted, Amy and I've talked a lot about this. Like, we are not going to push her in any one direction. You
yes.
know, I do think though, that based on how we live our lives from an entrepreneurial perspective and, you know, sort of not being tied into the status or like the, you have the, in the societal norms, basically.
Right.
I do think that she will be doing some form of her own business.
I do too.
Yeah.
I mean, how could she not, right? Raised by two entrepreneurial parents.
Right.
We're making a prediction right now.
Yep.
She's going to be an entrepreneur. She's going to have her own podcast and anything else that's invented in 20 years from now.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because I think that so much is going to be even so much different 20 years from now. That's what I predict. Again, I'm not going to push her in that way, but I think that's where she'll go.
I think so too. Yeah. So we shall see. We'll check back in 20 years and
exactly.
find out what's going
Remember
on.
Remember that episode 200?
Exactly.
She can come back and listen.
Rick, thank you so much for allowing me to dive into the questions with you. It's so much fun to learn more about you. And I'm so glad you're sharing all this with your listeners.
I really appreciate you doing this. When I reached out to ask you if you would do this, you're like, why do you want me to do it? I was like, no, come on. Like, you will get the stuff out of me that I really wanted to just share with people, just more about me and sort of like, you know, have people understand more about me, where I've come from and why I do what I do and how I show up the way that I show up. And thank you for doing such a good job with that. I really appreciate it.
Ah, so glad to be here. Congrats on 200 episodes.
All right. As I mentioned at the top of the show, if you're managing Facebook ads for other people, or maybe you're looking to start a Facebook ads business, I want to invite you to join me on a brand new free live virtual training series that I've got coming up for you. We're going to be teaching you all about how to effortlessly attract high quality clients while not having to sell. As I mentioned, this is a free live virtual training series and Q&A, and it kicks off on July 26th. And I could not be more pumped up about this. This is something brand new. I've been working on it for a long time. My team and I put a lot of work into it. And I really can't wait to bring you this free live training series. Again, it kicks off on July 26th. And so to register for this free live virtual training series, go to rickmulready.com/FBAdClients, FBAdClients. I'll also link that up in the show notes for today's episode, which is rickmulready.com/200. Also, please make sure that you have subscribed to the podcast here. However you're listening to the show, whether it's iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify, whatever platform that you're using, I'm starting to do episodes here on the show that are not available anywhere else, not on my website. And your subscribing will mean that you don't miss anything. As always, my friends, thank you so much for listening to the show today. I really appreciate you giving me your time and attention. Would love to hear your feedback on all the things that I shared on the episode here today. I've got a lot more episodes, a lot more awesome episodes coming your way, I should say, here on the show. So until then, and as always, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Don't worry. There's more of Art of Paid Traffic coming soon. If you can't wait for more incredible digital marketing strategies, head over to rickmulready.com. We'll see you next time.
D. Do you want to avoid the seven biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the seven mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link and you can go download it right now for free.